When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is Bet LA with Anita Marks on 710 ESPN.
Previewing all the NFL game odds to get you ready to wager each week on all the NFL action, college football, plus all the local teams and NBA action later this fall. This is Bet LA with Anita Marks on 710 ESPN. And tonight's edition of Bet LA with Anita Marks is made possible by Teza. Get more focus and energy in your daily life with Teza Nutrient Pouches. Visit TezaEnergy.com and make your mouth happy.
Bet LA with Anita Marks on 710 ESPN.
Bet LA with Anita Marks right now.
What's up? What's up? That's me, Anita Marks, with you here on Bet LA. Different time, different night. It's all good. In fact, we like being on earlier, don't we, guys? We got Tyler and Rebecca who are producing the show. Good evening, good evening. How you guys doing?
Hey, doing great. How are you?
I'm great. We've got a jam-packed show, lots of guests, football intensive, and why the heck not? Because it is super wild card week. See how they like? Do we have to call it super? Couldn't they come up with a more creative?
I do think it kind of steals the thunder from Super Bowl. Yes, I'll admit.
It's super wild card weekend, which to be quite, listen, I love that it's the playoffs. I love it. It's do or die, win, advance, you don't, you go home, like all of that. It's great. But there's some lackluster matchups here. I can't say that there's one matchup here that I'm like over the moon about. I don't know about you guys. And we'll dive into all that. Let me break down the show for you. Coming up in our next segment, Mike DiRocco is going to join us. He covers the Jacksonville Jaguars for ESPN. So a little look, as I like to call it, a look behind the curtain, him giving us some insight on this Jags team, this Jags roster, their game plan, what the Chargers can expect from the Jacksonville Jaguars. Daniel Wade, he's been on the show the last few weeks, covers the Chargers. He's going to be joining us right after that, right? So he's coming your way at 7:30. We also have Fat Jack, professional handicapper, who joins us on the program each and every week as well with his picks and his plays. We'll go through the entire six games on the slate, getting you ready. Jen Mueller is going to join us. Very dear friend of mine. Haven't spoken to her in a minute. Not going to lie. It's been a hot second. But nonetheless, she's out there in Seattle. She does a phenomenal job covering the Seattle Seahawks. She's part of their broadcast team. She's going to jump on board and join us at 8:30 tonight to get us ready. Does Seattle even have a prayer, a chance to beat the 49ers, which a lot of people feel will win the Super Bowl this year? So we'll talk to Jen. Cynthia Freeland from the NFL Network, one of my dearest friends as well, just such a phenomenal human being and is so gracious and so kind to join me each and every week on my radio shows, breaking down all things NFL. And we'll close the show out strong with some NBA. Can't do all, you know, I'd love to do all 3 hours of NFL, but we will close out the show strong with some Andrew Snellings, one of my partners in crime when it comes to our gambling platform at ESPN. And we'll talk some NBA, getting you ready for some NBA plays and picks heading to Thursday. As we know, the Lakers big game against the Dallas Mavericks, Luka going against LeBron, anticipating LeBron, of course, to play tomorrow. The Lakers, a home dog getting 3 against Dallas. So Andre and I will talk some NBA with you to close out the show a little bit later on this evening. Just to bring you up to speed on some scores out there right now, the Grizzlies up on the Spurs, 121-111. No surprise there, right? The Spurs trying to get that number one, that at least not the number one pick, but the most ping pong balls which I think the whole system is just dumb, but nonetheless, to try to get the number one overall pick in this year's NBA draft. The Pistons over the Timberwolves, 135-118. The Wizards took care of the Bulls tonight, 197. The Bucks over the Hawks, 114-105. And the Celtics continuing with their winning ways, 125-114 against the Pelicans. Pelicans still without Zion. CJ McCollum had 38 points. Jaylen Brown had 41 points and 12 rebounds for the Boston Celtics. And the Knicks beat the Pacers, 119-113. So Brunson had 34 points. So some NBA action tonight. But like I said, Andre is going to join us on the show a little bit later to get you up to speed on some of the NBA plays, as well as some prop bets for tomorrow on Thursday. And as always, I don't know about you guys, like, I love heading into the weekend playing with house money. I like being in the green. Of course, we all like being in the green as opposed to being in the red. Before we do embark on all our NFL talk tonight, your thoughts, especially you, Tyler, in regards to the national championship. I was full disclosure, I was all over TCU, love TCU getting the points. I was on the over, so obviously that hit, but was not anticipating just a complete and utter beatdown. I felt like since the first snap, I feel like as soon as the whistle went off, yeah, everything and anything that could have gone wrong for TCU did, from, false start penalties to, interception, you name it. It's just they could not get anything. And you felt like, okay, well, maybe this series they'll start turning it around, right? Like maybe they'll come out at the half and try to engineer some type of comeback where at least they'll cover the plus 12 and a half or cover the plus 13. No way. I mean, I don't know about you. I turned it off. I turned it off. I couldn't even watch anymore. I was sick to my stomach.
I mean, it was a little wild. It was a little wild. And the fact that TCU never really showed up, I don't think anybody, obviously, it's a fact that nobody expected the turnout that we ultimately saw. But it's just tough. It's tough to watch TCU do so well all season long. You got Max Duggan, who just put the team on his back, especially in the last few weeks of the season. Heisman runner-up, and it was just, they just never showed up.
That's an understatement.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they were there. We saw them there. They just,
And you know, here's the thing. Like, all season long, it was like, and prior to that, of course, I had Michigan the week before.
Yeah.
And I thought Michigan was going to beat TCU.
That whole side of the SEC.
So I just feel like, all season long, like, they were a covering machine.
Yeah.
And at that point, I was just like, you know what? I'm done. I'm done underestimating. I'm done not believing in these horned frogs. I'm like, all right, I'm in. I'm invested.
But how do you not get into that mentality of TCU all the way?
Well, listen,
it baited us.
The majority of the money was on TCU. I'm sure Vegas made a killing. I'm sure that the sportsbooks made a killing.
New casino being built as we speak.
Yeah, yeah, right. You're right. I have no doubt. Mattress Mike, right?
Yeah, Mattress Mac.
Mattress Mac. Sorry. Mattress Mac. You saw the photos of him on social media, right?
Yeah, yeah. And keep in mind, he was playing with house money from when Houston did well in baseball.
Right.
Yeah. So he was kind of playing with house money still, but that's a lot of money to lose for anybody.
Unbelievable. Really, really, really unbelievable. Anyway, all right. So this show is going to get you ready for Super Wild Card Weekend. I feel like we've put together a great ensemble of guests to get you ready for every game, and in some specific guests to give a little more insight in regard to the teams and what's out there and what they're preparing for. But like I said, when I opened up the show, guys, and tell me if you think I'm wrong, but like, I, I'm not, I'm not excited about any of these games. Like, don't, and I know that sounds crazy, right? Like, yeah, am I excited? Yeah, I'm excited because it's super wild card weekend. I'm going to have money on every single one of these games. I'm going to be playing them somehow, some way, a variety of ways. I've got prop bets. I'm like, I'm all in, right? It's going to be like a fun Saturday and Sunday and Monday night in the Marks household. Yes. So I'm just, in looking at these matchups, right? Like, Seattle very well could get their... Seattle could be the TCU.
Don't you put that out there.
49ers.
Don't come
Georgia.
At me like that, Anita. I think Seattle's in for an upset. I think you should buckle up. And I think we're going to be having a different conversation
Whoa.
Next week when Seattle upsets San Francisco.
Guys, do I need to regulate the conversation?
I certainly hope so. I certainly hope so. To be honest with you, the Chargers-Jags game, to me, might be the just the most competitive game that we will see on the slate this week.
The
it
Jags
just might be.
Yeah, I can't disagree. The Jags look good.
Okay.
And my, well,
I think the Miami Dolphins with Skylar Thompson gets.
Sorry,
go
I
ahead.
Was just gonna say I think that it's really gonna depend on Mike Williams' ability to perform. Because evidently he had to be helped on.
Well,
the
he
bus.
Didn't practice today. And he didn't practice today.
Yeah.
So there's that.
No, Mike
Joey
Williams
Bosa
is a
was
problem.
Supposed to practice today. You know, he's dealing with a groin injury. I mean, there's a lot of injuries there that the Chargers are dealing with. The Miami Dolphins, those mammals, are going to head up to the Northeast to play the Buffalo Bills in frigid, horrible, cold, snowy conditions.
And no Tua.
With their third string quarterback.
That's
yeah,
right.
Good luck with that.
Yeah.
Right? Skylar Thompson is going to be starting their third string quarterback.
Yeah, Tua didn't.
The Giants and the Minnesota
protocol.
Vikings might be just as competitive as the Chargers and the Jags. Ravens, not expecting Lamar Jackson to play. I think they get their butts handed to them.
Yeah,
and
I think so too.
The Dallas Cowboys have looked horrible. And not that the Tampa Bay Bucks have looked spectacular, but at the end of the day, they do have Tom Brady, and he is masterful when it comes to the postseason. So, listen, it's super wild card weekend. We're stoked about it. We're going to break it down for you in the next 3 hours. I have to be honest. Like, I'm not over the moon thrilled with any of these matchups this week. I'm just not. I'm going to be watching. I'm going to be gambling. Hopefully, I'll be winning money. But I can't say, if you were to say to me, Anita, there's only one game on this slate that you could watch, what would it be? Probably Giants-Vikings, just because I'm here in New York, right? And I used to work for the Giants. I was part of their broadcast team for 7 years. So probably that would be the game I'd watch. And I think, and again, I think it's between the Giants and the Vikings and the Chargers and the Jags as to the two games that I think will be most competitive, where it'll come down to the wire. Because at the end of the day, isn't that what we like? Isn't that what we want to watch?
I think
games that come down
weekend.
To the wire.
Yeah, I think it's going to ultimately be a very exciting weekend.
I hope so. When we come back, Mike DiRocco is going to join us from Jacksonville. He covers the Jacksonville Jaguars. Give us a preview, an update, a take on what the Jags are going to be doing to try to beat the Chargers. Following him, Daniel Wade. He's been on the show the last few weeks talking all things Chargers. So this hour we're going to dedicate to that LA team, the Chargers, the only LA team that made it to the postseason. So we'll do all that when we get back. Stay tuned. You're listening to Bet LA. I'm Anita Marks here on 710 ESPN LA.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This is Bet LA with Anita Marks on 710 ESPN, made possible tonight by Teza. Get more focus and energy in your daily life with Teza Nutrient Pouches. Visit TezaEnergy.com and make your mouth happy. Now more of Bet LA with Anita Marks on 710 ESPN.
Welcome back to Bet LA here on 710 ESPN LA. Anita Marks with you. Let's do a deep dive into the Jags, the opposite side of the ball for the Chargers. Of course, the Chargers favored by 2. The over-under is 47.5. Mike DiRocco joins us. He covers the Jags for ESPN. And so, Mike, let's look back before we look forward. As we know, it's a Jags team. They beat the Titans in order to advance and to be in this predicament. 20-16. But offense did not look so hot. They obviously won because of the defense. Your thoughts on that Tennessee matchup?
Yeah, they didn't run the ball very well, but that's not really a surprise because the Titans are really, really good up front, one of the league's better run defenses. But, once the Jags couldn't run the ball, and it sort of made them obviously one-dimensional. In the second half, that defensive front started to really kind of get after the Jags' offensive line a little bit. Brandon Sheriff is dealing with an abdominal injury, was, kind of tossed around a little bit, and they got into Trevor Lawrence's face, pressured him a little bit, and, forced him to get rid of the ball a little earlier than he probably wanted to, some errant throws there. Not one of their most crisp offensive performances, and, it's probably a little bit of a concern going into, the playoff game because, they weren't great offensively against the Houston Texans the week before, the New York Jets the week before that, though that game, was played in the monsoon. But, a little bit of a concern about the offense getting back on track.
I would imagine so. Jags team coming in, winning 5 straight and, again, beating Tennessee to make it to the postseason. A part of me is disappointed that this is the matchup, because these are two teams that I felt coming into the postseason were coming in hot. And, there's always that one team, whether it's the AFC, the NFC, there's always that one team that gets in as a wild card, finishes the season around 800, around 500. But then once they get to the postseason, they just absolutely blow up. And I was looking at both these teams to do that. And unfortunately, they have to face each other in the first round of the playoffs. As we know, these two teams went at it in week 3. The Jags beat them 38-10. But keep in mind, Justin Herbert was playing with some busted ribs. Your thoughts on how different these two teams are now here heading into Wild Card Weekend?
Yeah, well, Keenan Allen was hurt in that first matchup too, and the Chargers lost Bosa late in the first half. In the left tackle in the first half. So, it was a pretty banged up Chargers team. The only good thing if you're the Jags that you can kind of look at is that defense other than Bosa was relatively healthy. So you should have a pretty good idea of what you can and can't do against them defensively. The Jaguars, that was one of their better defensive performances. And, they hit Herbert a lot. And that's what they're going to try and do again this week, obviously. The guy that's probably the X factor in this game is Eckler. He's got over 100 catches, and he's a guy that it's not a good matchup for the Jaguars linebackers. They've had some trouble. Devin Lloyd in particular has had some trouble getting lost in coverages and going the wrong way, and that opens up the middle of the field. So, Eckler could be a guy that by the end of the day could be well over 150, approaching 200 scrimmage yards, and if that's the case, then I don't think the Jaguars are going to win this game. But I'm expecting a shootout because I do think the Jags will be able to do some stuff offensively, and we should be able to run the ball much better this week against a Chargers run defense, I think ranks 28th in the NFL. Certainly an easier task than running the ball last week against the Titans.
Yeah, so you've got a Chargers defense that, against, like you said, against the run is not so hot, and a Jags defense as well against the pass is not too hot. And of course, we know that's what the Chargers like to do. You say it's going to be a potential shootout. 47.5 is the over under. By the way, the Chargers are favored by 2, even though they're heading to Jacksonville. And again, let's do a deeper dive into the matchup with the defense in the secondary going up against Justin Herbert. As I said, they're coming in with 5 straight wins. But looking at that, of course, going up against the Tennessee Titans in Dobbs, the Texans, they were doing that dual quarterback fiasco. You've got the Jets. Their quarterback situation is god-awful. The Cowboys, now the Jags won 40-34, but I'll tell you what, I think Dak Prescott's having his worst season of his career. So, I mean, this is a different animal coming in to take on this Jags defense with Justin Herbert, who I think is top 5 quarterback in the NFL. How do you think they defend him offensively? I mean, defensively. How do they defend him in that secondary?
Well, that's sort of their biggest issue is back in the, you know, the back end of the secondary. You know, Darius Williams has sort of played better since they moved him from nickel corner to outside to replace Shaq Griffin, you know, who had a back injury and is out for the year. But, you know, it took them a while to get him out there. Since he's been out there the last three games, he's played a lot better. But, you know, the bottom line is you have to have three defensive backs in the NFL these days, three good defensive backs to be good on the back end. And the Jags' biggest issue now is that nickel. And that's where, you know, I expect Herbert to kind of target the Jags. I mean, look, the tight ends and Eckler should have a really big day across the middle of the field because of that, you know, and I'm not sure that they're going to be able to get to Herbert. And that's going to be the key, you know, rush and cover, you know, hand in hand type of thing. So, you know, they got to Dobbs in the second half and got him to make a couple of mistakes and they capitalized on those. But Herbert gets the ball out so much quicker than Dobbs did, at least in the second half last week. And I think that that's what they're going to have to do. They're going to have to find a way to get in there. They're going to have to pressure him with the blitz. You know, Rayshon Jenkins had the strip sack last week. He's the one who picked off Dak Prescott in overtime and returned it for a touchdown. So he's made two huge big plays. And he's one of the Jaguars' best blitzers out of the secondary. So I think we'll see a lot of him there. You've got to try and force Herbert into making mistakes, because if the Jags don't get to him, he's going to have all day back there and he's going to be able to pick them apart. And, you know, that puts a lot of pressure on Trevor Lawrence and that offense to keep up. So I think the pressure, if they can get to him with some blitzes and confuse him a little bit, get him to get rid of the ball quick, I think they can have some success against him, but it's not going to be easy.
Mike DiRocco joining us here on ESPN Radio does a phenomenal job covering the Jacksonville Jaguars, as we know, going up against the Chargers in the, what are they calling it now? The Super Wild Card Weekend, right? Isn't that what it's called? As concerning as the Jags' pass defense is, their rush defense has been quite good, only allowing 3.93 yards per carry. So, and Eckler is, I mean, dude's been used a lot this season, right? Like 311 touches, 1,637 total yards. He was begging towards the end of the season to get some rest, to get ready for this matchup. But the Jags, again, their rush defense a lot better than their pass defense. How are they against running backs in the passing game? That's where my concern here is for the Jags in that matchup, is Austin Eckler and how he's utilized in the passing game, especially if Mike Williams is dealing with some back spasms. Chances are he's going to be utilized even more in the pass attack for the Chargers, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, that's not been a strength of the Jaguars' backs in the passing game. You know, I mentioned the linebacker, Devin Lloyd, the first-round pick, you know, team traded up to 20 back into the first round to get him at 27. He's gotten lost in coverage, and that's been a big problem for the Jaguars. You know, it's left that middle of the field wide open. Now he's supposedly, or you know, one of his strengths was as a, you know, athletic coverage linebacker, but being out of position, you can't lose a step, especially against a guy like Eckler who can take it 60 whenever he gets it. So there have been some times too when the Jags have kind of dropped Josh Allen and Trayvon Walker into coverage as well, and teams have really kind of taken advantage of that. They get that matchup of Eckler on either one of those guys, that's a matchup the Jags will not win. So it's going to be important for them. Like I said, they got to get to Herbert quick and get him to get the ball out before he's ready. I just worry, if I'm the Jags, I just worry that if we can't get to him, we're going to have a huge problem with those linebackers. So if I'm the Jags, that's my biggest worry right there. And I think that that's going to be something that the Chargers will take advantage of.
On the defensive side of the ball for the Chargers, reports are that, you know, Joey Bosa is going to play. He's been able to practice this week. Because some concerns there, some big question marks as to why the Chargers even played their starters last week. And of course, Mike Williams with back spasms, Murray was also banged up, Bosa with the groin, but he is expected to play. Since this Chargers defense has gotten healthier, They have the second best pass defense in the NFL since week 8. With that being said, talk about this pass attack with Trevor Lawrence. He's been sensational this season. Christian Kirk, Zay Jones, Ingram. He's got a plethora of weapons that he can work with. ATN utilized in the passing game. How do you see their offense playing out against this Chargers defense?
You know, you mentioned Zay Jones, Evan Ingram, Christian Kirk. All three set career highs in receptions and receiving yards this year under, you know, Doug Peterson, along with Trevor Lawrence, just the second guy in franchise history to throw for 4,000 yards here. So, look, Doug Peterson does a really, really good job of finding the matchup that you're not going to win defensively and exploiting that. And, you know, a lot of what they've done is move some guys around in motion before the snap. They've got a lot of, option routes. They've got a lot of rub routes that they're working Christian Kirk through. And that, you know, pops him open, and it's a relatively easy throw from Trevor. They roll him out to the right. He's, you know, a lot. He's one of the more accurate quarterbacks on the run in the NFL. So, you know, they're going to try and get that ball out of his hand as well quickly if you're the Jags and get him into a rhythm. And the thing of it is that he's really, really good against man coverage. I think he ranks in the top 5 in the NFL in terms of completion percentage in man coverage. And according to, you know, our guys at ESPN Stats and Info, the Chargers play man coverage about 61% of the time. So that's a matchup that the Jaguars feel like they can take advantage of. But the other part of it is you got to worry if you're the Jaguars about Derwin James, because you're never quite sure where he's going to be, and you better find him before you make your throw. Otherwise, it's going to be a long afternoon, because he can really kind of create some problems there. You know, they talk about Bosa and the pass rush being a problem, can wreck a game, but, man, Derwin James is a guy that can wreck a game just as much. And, you know, the Jags have had some issues with drops and balls being deflected off receivers' hands, and, you know, all it takes is for one of those to go left instead of right, and then all of a sudden you've got Derwin James going back the other way with it. So, but the Jaguars' pass offense has been the biggest bright spot for this team, and I expect Doug Peterson to have a much better plan this week than he really did the last couple of weeks. I think he was holding back a little bit, you know, especially against the Jets and the Texans, because it was a game, those were games that they were going to win as long as they didn't make any mistakes and give those teams help. But it'll be fun to watch this week. It's a really good matchup.
So with that being said, how does this play out, right? Like, I don't know. I'm kind of on the fence here. I've got a lot of question marks about both these teams. Chargers favored by 2. The over-under is 47.5. I'm with you. I think this is going to be a shootout. So for me, the play here is the over. I'll probably play some prop bets as well. But how confident are you that the Jags walk away with a home win in advance?
I'm probably going to cop out and say like 50-50, because the thing of it is Trevor Lawrence played in a lot of big games at Clemson. But do we really know how he's going to play in the postseason? We all know that's a different animal than the NFL regular season. How is he going to handle the pressure? Is he going to make the throws that he needs to make? Is he going to, you know, get caught up in the bright lights or the pressure a little bit? I don't know. And the same thing with Herbert. He's making his first playoff start, too. How is he going to handle it? You know, this is a thing where every mistake in the playoffs is magnified. So that one little mistake, the bad read you might make, hurt you a little bit in the regular season in week 4, but in the first round of the playoffs, it could be the thing that goes back the other way and loses you the game. So I'm not quite sure how either one of those guys is going to handle it. But I do expect a shootout. And since the Jags are at home and they've had an extra day of rest, I'd take the Jags, I guess, to win. I do know this, that they're, like you said, they're the underdog. And I know that Doug Peterson in the playoffs as an underdog is 4-1. Which is a pretty phenomenal record there. In 2017, when the Eagles won the championship, they were underdogs in every single playoff game. So I guess if I'm going to lean one way, it'd probably be to the Jags, just because, you know, of Peterson and his ability to kind of win those games that no one thinks they're going to win.
Mike, thank you so much. Really do appreciate your insight and your time previewing this the Jags side of this matchup against the Chargers. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
All right, I want to thank Mike DiRocco joining us here on 710 ESPN LA. Still a lot more coming your way. Let's take a look at the Chargers side of the ball when we get back right here on 710 ESPN LA.
This is Bet LA with Anita Marks on 710 ESPN, made possible tonight by Teza. Get more focus and energy in your daily life with Teza Nutrient Pouches. Visit TezaEnergy.com and make your mouth happy. Now more of Bet LA with Anita Marks on 710 ESPN.
Well, I mean, everyone here knows, you know, you treat every week like it has a life of its own in the NFL. And every week demands that full respect from you as a competitor. And that's the way I've always tried to live. And, you know, they're all the most important games in the world to me, you know. And I think that that's the only way that I've ever known how to compete. And that's what I've tried to bring to this team. You know, but what happens in the playoffs is, you know, every play, every possession is magnified. You have a ton of film. You know, you have 17 games worth of film for someone to watch, and you know it's extremely well scouted. I think that that intensity, that attention to detail, and the quality of the players makes for every play, every possession counting at a high level. And so you're seeing the best of the best every single play. And so, you know, you just really got to focus on the things that you do from your first day in training camp, which is your assignment, your technique, and the energy you play with, and making sure that you do that consistently down in and down out.
Staley, of course, head coach for your Los Angeles Chargers, talking about what this team needs to do heading into their matchup with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Daniel Wade joins us as he does, really, I think this is your third straight week. You've been on the program, which is great. He's got a great podcast out, Locked On Chargers. That's his podcast. Daniel, thank you so much for joining us yet again. How you doing this evening?
I'm doing great, Anita. I mean, what a playoff matchup we get to talk about. I think there's some duds out there. This shouldn't be one of them. I mean, we get Trevor Lawrence versus Justin Herbert. Can't ask for much more than that.
Were you listening to the show just about 10 minutes ago? Because it's exactly what my conversation was with Tyler and Rebecca, our producers. And again, like, listen, I don't want to poo-poo it, right? Like, you know, it's super wild card weekend. Like, it's the playoffs. It's going to be great. It's going to be fun. This is a gambling show. We're here to help you win some money, okay? But, you know, there's not one matchup out there that, you know, that jumps off the page and I'm like, oh man, this is a can't miss game. Now I'm with you. I do believe that the Chargers and the Jags, as well as the Giants and the Vikings, to me, more than likely will be the two most competitive games. I think there's a chance that the Bills game and the 49ers game and, what's the other one? And the Cincinnati Bengals game could be blowouts. So, you know, I'm with you. I think this very well could be a very competitive game. Before we start breaking down the X's and O's, bring us up to speed on the injury report. Mike Williams, Joey Bosa, who do we need to be in the know about in regard to injuries that potentially might not play, or if they do play, won't necessarily, nobody's 100% at this stage in the season. I get that, but might have some real concern in regard to how they can produce.
Mike Williams is the big one. And that's the toughest one, the toughest pill to swallow, because he got hurt in the meaningless Week 18 game. I mean, I heard you talking, you had Brandon Staley talking before, right before I came on, talking about that game and all the importance of it. The risk is you could lose someone like Mike Williams, who hasn't practiced this week at all yet. The thought is that he's going to play. They very much poo-pooed it after the last game. Brandon Staley said, you know, not a big thing. They say that he's probably going to play this week. But I think at what capacity are you going to get him? Because Mike Williams is a game-changing type of a player. He makes game-changing type of plays. He's the guy that's the best jump ball receiver. When you need a big play and you know somebody might be covered and you have to throw it to him anyways, Mike Williams is that guy. And right now, I do think he's going to play. He had back spasms last week. That was on the very minor scale of what it could have been. When you see him get, you know, carted from the medical tent to the locker room, you go worst case scenario. Everything we've heard so far, a lot of treatment this week, so, and I think that he's going to play. But it feels like for the Chargers to win, they might need a couple of those moments. They might need Mike Williams to come up with something special in that big moment, and now that's kind of in question.
That's what's going on with Mike Williams. What are you hearing about Bosa? I was reading that he was expected to play to practice today. Was he able to?
Yes, he was a full participant at practice today. Brandon Staley on Monday said that that was going to be the case, sort of like Justin Herbert was on the injury report last week, but practiced fully all 3 days. It looked like something happened in the last game. Joey Bosa came out of the game after getting a sack on Russell Wilson. He never saw the field again while a lot of defensive starters got back on the field. When asked about it after the game, Brandon Staley said it was all part of the plan to get him off the field at that time. But obviously you don't want to see him on the injury report. From everything that's out there, he will be fine. He should be fully good to go on Sunday.
And any other players that we should be in the know about as we get closer, of course, to Saturday's action?
No. I mean, the Chargers have a remarkably clean bill of health. They actually just activated Rashawn Slater, their all-pro left tackle, to return at some point. But we also know he's not going to play this weekend. So that's a bummer because, I mean, that dude makes a giant difference. Everyone else is good to go. Unless something happens at practice this week, besides Mike Williams, their entire 53-man roster is healthy and ready to go.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's good news. My question to you is why did any of them even play last week? What was the benefit of them suiting up and playing last week?
I mean, that's a great question. I think a lot of Charger fans were getting more frustrated as the game progressed, and it's just another series the starters come out. No way they come out after halftime. After halftime, they come out. They play until the fourth quarter, basically. Brandon Staley talked about it, but I didn't really buy what his answer was. I mean, he said basically there's only so many practice squad elevations you get. You get two of them, right? You don't get the preseason roster of 90 guys to go out there and throw all of your starters, or the guys who aren't starters can just, you know, all play. But at the same time, you obviously had a plan. You had the Chase Daniel plan that you used in the fourth quarter where you took out Justin Herbert. You took out your all-pro center, Corey Linsley. You took out Trey Pipkins, who's been dealing with something at right tackle. So you had that game plan there. You were able to sit all of your defensive starters in the fourth quarter. Why didn't we see that earlier? I mean, to me, the process was basically, hey, we want to get as many live reps with these star players coming back as possible. We haven't had a lot of these guys. And for certain guys, it made more sense than others. It didn't make sense to me. I would have been fine if the Chargers had sat all of their star players for this game, which they could have because they did it in the fourth quarter. For them to come out and play three quarters, I don't know what it accomplished, because not only did somebody get hurt, Mike Williams now in question for this game, and that was on the fifth offensive drive. You scored two touchdowns in your first three drives. Sit everybody then. You're up 14-7. You have all the momentum. I didn't really understand it. And you get reps, you get all those things, you get in a better rhythm, but you put yourself in jeopardy of losing someone like Mike Williams. I didn't really understand it. I understand the heat that he's been taking.
Again, Daniel Wade joining us here on 710 ESPN LA, getting you ready for that Chargers-Jags matchup on Saturday evening. Locked On Chargers podcast. That's where you can find him. All right, let's start diving into this matchup. Chargers favored by 2. The over-under is 47.5. Just had Mike DeRock go on, who covers the Jags. He thinks this is going to be a shootout. Do you agree with that?
I think it's an odd game because I think with these two teams, you don't necessarily know what you're going to get. Could I see a shootout? Absolutely. I mean, if this game ended, you know, 34-31, that wouldn't be that surprising to me, because after that last defensive performance by the Chargers, they kind of put the month before that, when they were the best defense in the league for four straight games, in question. Because in the last game you played in, the Broncos offense put up, you know, 27 points on you in three quarters. So it's really tough to gauge kind of where the Chargers defense is at this point. So I could understand the Jags putting up points. The Chargers offensively, I do think over the last couple of weeks, it'd be hard to tell in that last game because they had two fumbles, both took away points basically. And then you also had a moment where that you just didn't come up with points in the red zone again, which has been a problem for the Chargers. A couple of drop passes killed them too. The offense has been clicking a little bit better, and I think that's a huge thing for this game, because I don't know if Joe Lombardi, the offensive coordinator, is safe. It feels like this is a showcase for him. It feels like he has to have a playoff run to potentially keep that job. So I could see that. My prediction for the game was Chargers 27, Jaguars 24. I mean, I think it's really a coin flip, though. I can understand the places that have a pick 'em. For those who have the Chargers favorite, I definitely get that as well, because they have the guys now that they didn't have earlier in the season, and now the expectations are higher.
What we do know is that the Jags are quite good against the run, but bottom five defense against the pass. And what we do know is that the Chargers, their defense since week 8, second best pass defense in the NFL since week 8, but not great against the run. So with that being said, Are we expecting a monster night for Justin Herbert? Are we expecting a solid, impressive night from ATN based on the statistics and the matchups here?
Yeah, I mean, that seems like if it goes chalk, that's the way it plays out, right? Game flow, I think, will have a lot to do with it. In the first matchup, obviously forever ago, Travis Etienne was actually pretty, you know, casual in that game. He had 3.5 yards per carry. It was James Robinson who broke off the 50-yard touchdown that really killed the Chargers in that one. But they bottled him up okay. The Jaguars last week had a really tough time running against the Titans. The Chargers don't have that defensive front. But the biggest difference for me in this one, Anita, is Justin Herbert has Keenan Allen back in this game. And that's one thing I don't think enough people are talking about. Keenan Allen did not play in that first matchup. And depending on how you think about this Jaguars secondary, I mean, they have some guys to be afraid of. The slot cornerback is not one of them. I think you want Trey Herndon and Keenan Allen on an island. And I think Keenan Allen's ability to keep the drives going for the Chargers is going to be huge. I mean, even the last game of the season, he puts up 8 catches, 2 touchdowns, and over 100 yards. That dude is so important. And he's played as well as he's played in any season since 2018 on a per-game basis. When he's out there, when he's healthy, he's still a difference maker. And that's one guy that the Chargers have this time around, along with, you know, Joey Bosa, who got injured in that first game, Corey Linsley, that got injured in that first game. The one people aren't talking about enough is Keenan Allen, who I think could have a big game.
Keenan Allen, since week 11, 83 targets, 60 receptions, 675 receiving yards, and 4 touchdowns. Out of the slot, 38 targets out of the slot. And oh, by the way, the Jacksonville Jaguars, 24th coverage defense against slot wide receivers. So I think you're right. Over under 6.5 receptions, over under 74.5 receiving yards. Those are the numbers for Keenan Allen, just FYI.
I'm hammering the overs on those ones. I mean, especially in receptions. Keenan Allen, I mean, because Mike Williams is more likely to have, you know, 5 for 85 and a touchdown. Keenan Allen could have, you know, 6 catches in the first half. Again, I just think that Justin Herbert relies on him that much. I'm hammering the over on both of those ones.
Daniel, thank you so much for joining us. Always a pleasure having you on. Daniel Wade covering the Chargers. Again, his podcast, Locked On Chargers. Make sure you download it, listen to it, Spotify, all the things, as all my friends like to say, all the things. I'm like, what does that mean, all the things? Well, this is what it means. Locked On Chargers podcast. Quick break. We come back. I'll share with you all the ways that I am betting the Chargers-Jags game when we get back right here on Bet LA, 710 ESPN LA.
This is Bet LA with Anita Marks on 710 ESPN, made possible tonight by Teza. Get more focus and energy in your daily life with Teza Nutrient Pouches. Visit TezaEnergy.com and make your mouth happy. Now more of Bet LA with Anita Marks on 710 ESPN.
All right, let's break it down. Anita Marks with you, Bet LA here on 710 ESPN LA. We just heard from Mike DiRocco, who covers the Jags for ESPN, Daniel Wade, who covers the Chargers. Now it's our turn, right? Based on the information that we just gathered, plethora of it, how are we playing this? Again, the Chargers are favored by 2. The over-under is 47.5. You know, and it's interesting, right? Because we heard from Mike and Daniel, and neither of them had true conviction, right, guys? And who's going to win? But both of them believe that a lot of points are going to be scored. So I think game-wise, I think the play here is the over at 47.5. Do you guys agree with that?
Yeah, I was going to say the over, and I'm leaning more Chargers than I am Jags.
Well, I will say this, and it was great to have Daniel on. The fact that Joey Bosa practiced fully today, I think, is huge.
Huge.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think, and not to take anything away from Keenan Allen, we know how important he is, obviously, in this offense, but I think it's important to have Mike Williams, at least at 75-80%.
And I think they will.
Okay. Mr. Positivity over there, Tyler, Mr. Positivity.
Well, here's the facts. The facts are that he hasn't been ruled out. While he didn't practice today, we haven't really gotten an injury update on him. Not like he has a tear. So if anything, we're talking about a sprain or a strain. Mm-hmm. And if that's the case, he's still got, you know, a couple more days of recovery time. I think that he's limited in practice come Friday, and I think we see him.
I hope so. If Joey Bosa is active and attractive, if Mike Williams is active and attractive, yeah, you know what? I'll put some money down on the Chargers. Listen, I told you this. Prior to the season starting, I had the Chargers and the Eagles as my Super Bowl matchup. Didn't have to pick who was going to win, per se, but just who was going to be the Super Bowl matchup. And I had Chargers, Eagles, and I got it 90-1.
Wow.
Okay? 90-1. I threw $100 down on it.
Great pick.
Yeah, I think so. And as I said with Dan, as I said with Mike, I'm kind of disappointed that it's Chargers and Jags in the first matchup, because I was really like, these are the two teams I was like really most interested in to see how much havoc they can create in the AFC. I thought those are the two teams flying low on the radar and could come into the postseason and make some noise, but obviously one is going to cancel the other out. So it is what it is. So again, how am I playing this? Definitely the over at 47.5. Right now, based on our conversation with Daniel, it sounds good. I'm with you. I'll lean towards the Chargers at -2. You know, again, where is the weakness here for the Chargers? The weakness is their rush defense. For the Jags, their weakness is their pass defense. So what does that mean? Probably my favorite bet here, guys, is Justin Herbert over 37.5 passing attemps.
Yeah.
This Chargers team, they're the most pass happy team in the NFL.
Yeah, and as long as he's got the target, as if he's got Keenan Allen and Mike Williams downfield, that's easy money.
Right? So, and you could get that at -120. So again, what does that mean? You're laying $120 down to win $100.
Also keep in mind, a lot of people don't factor this in. He throws to Eckler a lot.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting that you say that, because here's the thing. The Jags are only allowing 3.93 yards per carry. Okay? Which is pretty solid in the NFL. However, they're not great against receiving running backs that are a part of the receiving game. In fact, they've given up 12 touchdowns to opposing running backs this season. 12. So with that being said, a few things. Again, my favorite prop bet in this is Herbert over 37.5 attempts at -120. Definitely playing that. Eckler over 36.5 receiving yards and over 4.5 receptions. Also, Eckler, anytime touchdown at -160. Might be a little bit too much juice for some folks. I get you. I don't necessarily like the 160. I don't like anything over like -130, -135. ATN, over 76.5 rushing yards. ATN, anytime touchdown at -130. And again, we just had Daniel on. I teed up the prop bets for him on Keenan Allen. Since Keenan Allen returned in week 11, he has 83 targets, 60 receptions, 675 receiving yards, and 4 touchdowns. He runs out of the slot. He's got 38 receptions out of the slot. And the Jags, their defense ranked 24th in the NFL against slot wide receivers. So he should have a field day. Especially if Mike Williams isn't 100%. So over 6.5 receptions for Keenan Allen, over 74.5 receiving yards. So that's how we're playing this bad boy. Quick break. We come back. We kick off hour number 2. Fat Jack just came back from across the pond. He was in London. He'll jump on board. We'll break down all 6 games on the slate for you. Also, why not? You guys, why don't we? Let's open up the phone lines. 877-710-3776. Again, 877-710-3776. Is there a play out there in this weekend slate that you love? Sell me on it. Whether it could be a side, a total, a prop bet, I want to hear from you. You're listening to Bet LA here on 710 ESPN LA.